At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Series 2. 19 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. And as is very often the case, the Derby news, and at this point, of course, it becomes not just Derby news and becomes a little bit of Derby postscript and Triple Crown news. Continues to emanate from this region, and specifically from the KHRC. And the speculation about Forte's status regarding the Saturday morning scratch and the specifics of it basically were officially detailed yesterday afternoon with a release from the KHRC. And essentially, to put it, to give you the overview anyway, the scratch is registered and is maintained and happens as a vet scratch, which sets in motion vet scratch protocols, period. And had the Forte team withdrawn Forte in advance and hadn't engaged in the process essentially that horses go through to clear pre-race exams, he might have been at that point, he would have been okay to proceed to Baltimore if that was their intention. And instead, by having the vet officially scratch Forte, he goes on the 14-day vet list. And there's a whole set of things that have to happen to even get off the vet's list, which includes, pre-workout. They have to work for the vets to get, off the vet list. And then a post-work evaluation as well. And there's also the portion of it that involves blood work. And the 14 days, they start the day of the scratch does not count toward the 14 days. So count out 14 days from Sunday, thereby eclipsing the date of Preakness. And obviously, this conversation trips off a handful of other discussions. And those discussions include what actually may be a modern parameter that forces a change in the spacing of the Triple Crown, just by the very nature of things like this. So Forte unable, and I know people are speculating on legal challenge. There's not going to be a legal recourse here to get Forte into Preakness. So that after a couple of days of speculation, and this sort of gets right back to the topic that Andy Beyer 24 hours ago right here, that Andy brought up, and that was really evident, you know, as late as Saturday afternoon when, you know, the American Turf, having talk of the nation, you know, scratched at the gate. And again, without explanation. And KHRC, you know, they deliver, you know, the public relations office, or, you know, the publicity office, but there's doesn't seem to be a go-to spokesman. You know, there's the equine medical director, right? Will Farmer, but this doesn't seem like there's anybody that, you know, will get up in front of an audience and provide clarity to, you know, some of the rules and the way they're being, you know, the way they're applied. I mean, the way they're applied, I think everybody can, I think, can understand, you know, that portion. I mean, the specifics of each one is depending on what the topic is. But this one, this is, it's not really complex. What seemed to be uncertain was whether the, you know, the Rapoli team and the Pletcher Barn were given any option. And because sometimes you'll even see on the Equibase changes, you know, sometimes a vet scratch, sometimes a trainer scratch. And I think one of the things that contributed, in fact, to the confusion, this apparently was always a vet scratch, was that on the chart among the scratches, it was listed as a trainer scratch. So I think that may have helped confuse matters for people, and, you know, and for the discussion that if it was a trainer, you know, if he'd scratched on Thursday or Friday, and there was plenty of, you know, there's plenty of discussion that you know, he had, and we all knew certainly by Thursday and absolutely on Friday that he, you know, that his foot was bothering him, and that, you know, Todd Pletcher acknowledged that he put and sent them out in a 3/4 shoe and so forth. So it wasn't like, you know, this wasn't known, but it's very hard. I mean, you're hours away from a start, and, you know, in a race like the Derby, and, you know, if the horse is as ready as he's going to be and sound, you want to run. So that was the seemingly the message coming from their camp. In fact, we had dinner last night, and thanks very much to Billy Rappaport and his wife Elizabeth. We had dinner at Veronese last night on the Avenue, and we were talking about this. And there's any number of, you know, at this point, apocryphal, historic moments that involve these kinds of a very, you know, narrow decisions, and we're talking about Point Given, and, you know, Point Given was struggling with a bad foot all his whole 3-year-old season, and, you know, and very frequently, you know, had issues, and they probably wouldn't have let, I mean, if Point Given was now, probably wouldn't have let Point Given run, knowing what we, you know, dealing with what we're dealing with now. And at the same time, you know, given the way in which the injuries and the fatalities were being reported and have been reported, there's real heightened, you know, move on the side of caution mentality, which is prudent, right? I mean, none of us, you know, none of us, we can we can be frustrated and you know, say, well, this horse is, especially the horseman, that can say, this horse can run. This horse is sound. He's hitting fine, and this horse can go. And it, you know, if the regulatory vets have any concerns, this is the way it's going to come down. Period. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, we're just going to have to make that adjustment. And you know, there's a lot of working parts to that long term. So I wanted to give everybody the Forte scenario. Another horse that will not participate in Baltimore, and we will talk to Larry Rivelli this morning. Was going to talk to Rivelli one way or the other anyway, and of course Noble's winning the turf sprint mid card on Saturday, and then two fills running just so gallantly in defeat. And Rivelli yesterday in the Daily Herald, the neighborhood, the Herald's a big paper. The outlying Chicagoland suburban paper reporting yesterday, Jim O'Donnell talking to Rivelli that Two Fills is going to bypass Preakness. And we'll let Larry, I can paraphrase or, you know, say what Larry told O'Donnell, but some of you probably have read it already. And, to me, the way he ran, a horse runs that kind of race in the Derby, they come back and are very tough in the Preakness. Shackleford, a good example, certainly a fairly recent vintage. And so was, well, of course, Bodie Meister got beat, you know, the second time in a row, but again, ran a terrific Preakness on the heels of his Derby. But Rivelli, I think he says, wherever we're turning up next, it's going to be a place where we don't expect to lose. He said it could be, you know, long-term something, you know, Jim Dandy Travers. He mentioned the West Virginia Derby, but basically saying it's just too soon to bring him back. And speaking of coming back, I can also let you know that this morning here at Churchill, despite another violent thunderstorm, woken up by the very pleasant sound of hail smacking the hotel room window. It hails here more than anywhere I ever go. I've ever been. It's unbelievable how often it hails here. it was about 3:40, and I was getting some of that good quality catch up sleep that you lose from Derby. So, Mage went to the track today, which is not shockingly soon. It's not, you know, it's not highly unusual, but came back, jogged one and galloped one this morning on a wet sealed track. So obviously, and you know, horses go a mile and a quarter, they're full of beans, make no mistake, they are feeling good and taut coming out of it. But every indication is he's done superb in the, well, what is it now? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 72 hours, 60 hours, whatever it is. I mean, it does now feel, today's Tuesday, right? Yeah. It 24, 48, 72. It does feel like now quite a while ago, which is bizarre because it really wasn't. And Mage seemingly, you know, popping out of this fresh. And so right now, let's take a quick glance before we bring in our first recap guest. We'll do a lot more trainers today. I hope you enjoyed yesterday. I didn't necessarily plan that we expected to have Brendan Walsh yesterday, but those long-form conversations with Andy Beyer, Hour 1, Phil Bauer, Hour 2, and Ramiro Estopo, Hour 3, I enjoyed that kind of approach. And so today we'll put the spurs to some of the recaps and hear from, I think, a wider array. We will, at the top of Hour 2, welcome Javier Castellano. And we'll get Javi's. I'm sure he's now. He was back at Belmont on Sunday. That always amazes me. We also got to talk about the unbelievable good news, the miraculous news from Cleveland. It unbelievable. Yes, the Mauro Cedillo. It's like unbelievable. He's going to be fine. He's going to make a complete recovery. There was a watch on with a little bit of a expectation that he was not going to survive that night. And it was a very good sign, actually, that he made it through the night. That was really that was a good sign. And it ends up being, you know, more than that. So somebody was watching over. Very fortunate for Cedillo. That picture of him, he looks like he's ready to take a call today at Thistle now. So anyway, that was the good news. Your Preakness scenario right this minute now, Mage, Disarm, and or Red Root. Well, Red Root 1 is locked in. First mission, of course, for Brad Cox. Confidence game, Keith DeSormo, increasingly happy. National Treasure, Blazing Sevens, Il Miracolo, Antonio Sano, Henry Q, Doug O'Neill, Instant Coffee from Brad Cox as well. And Cox, you know, we'll see how maybe some of these defections and decisions affect the rest of the Cox barn. Angel of Empire and Hit Show at first was an absolute no on Saturday night, and then became a little bit more of a possibility by Sunday. We're going to expect to talk to Shug, by the way, as early as this hour after Brendan Walsh and Andy Serling later, by the way, too. And we'll talk to Shug about Perform, about where that stands. All right. So let's get Brendan going in here, and we'll get started. All right. I was hoping to get Brendan over here, but even when I'm this conveniently located, trainers get very busy. And Brendan Walsh, on the heels of a great Keeneland meet, gets it to Derby Week and Oaks Week and Kentucky Oaks with Pretty Mischievous, and she did it in pretty impressive fashion. Brendan, congratulations.
Thanks very much, Steve. Thank you.
And, you know, not just delighted because I was all over her. delighted because, you know, it's a great win for you. I mean, not that you haven't won dirt stakes, but it's the kind of win that, you know, is a signature victory.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's you know, like I was saying to somebody earlier, we've won plenty of big races at this stage, thankfully, but this is kind of a different one again. It's you know, obviously super prestigious race, so it was it's quite a thrill to have been able to win it, you know.
Well, and was there concerns or any panic about drawing that 14 hole, but talk about you know, from Monday to Friday and everything really that's gone on with her to get to this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, she did have a great prep for it, Steve. You know, everything went as good as it could go. You know, our works were were good and always the best. Tyler came and worked her a few times coming into it, and I thought she looked great the week of the race as well. I thought she really did well, and she was in a good frame of mind, so it was about as good a prep as you could hope for, you know. So it was great. I guess you got to have that to win these races.
She also, leading in to Friday, just in terms of our, the handicapping discussion, and made the point repeatedly how good she looked. And I thought she stood out the at least the 2 weeks that I was here, and I'm still here, but the 2 weeks I've been here leading up to Oaks, I thought that she made an absolute perfect impression. She didn't have a bad morning.
Yeah, no, she didn't. She did great. She's got bags of class, Steve. You know, she backs up and goes out there. She loves to train. I mean, she just absolutely loves to train. And she rarely. I can't remember her ever having a bad day, to be honest. I guess that's what you get with these type of horses. They're just a different breed, and you know, she. It shone through in her on Friday.
Let's talk about the trip and the 14 hole. And, sometimes when you've got a horse like this that's going to be somewhat close, depending on the other speed and that element, you were putting the blinkers on. And it isn't as if she had been ever... a horse that was, that needed, it seemed, blinkers to get her more motivated and to get her to go, faster early. I mean, talk about the blinker decision. And I was curious, I speculated on Tuesday morning that, maybe you were uncertain about the blinkers by the time they drew and you end up with her out there that wide.
Yeah, I think we just put them on because, the last day when she ran at the fairground, she just idled a little bit. I felt that, had they taken her, the speed taken her a little further, or had she not maybe idled, that she could well have won the race. We couldn't see them having a negative effect on her because she's such a kind filly. We knew they weren't going to make her too strong or anything like that. So it was kind of more for the finish of the race than the start. And they just helped her to focus a little bit. I think they worked good in the end. She still even idled maybe a little the other day when she went clear. But I think they took her a little further and they definitely, they definitely helped, or at least they didn't have a negative anyway on her, Steve.
Well, there were a few different points in the race where you could tell she was having a good trip, and that I think she was about three wide into the first turn.
Yeah, she was like three, four wide. I thought Tyler did very well to get her in where he did. Our biggest fear was that she was going to be four or five wide on the turn. And, he got into such a nice rhythm. I mean, she was still wide on the final turn, but, she was in such a good rhythm and she traveled so well through the race. He ended up getting there maybe a little sooner than what we had wanted to, again, in an ideal world. But, thankfully she finished up good and held on in the end. I think she started to idle again, but there was a great photograph of her about 50 yards from the wire. You can see she drops her right ear because she can feel that filly coming up beside her. So I would like to think that had she come up to her, that she would have been able to dig out a little bit more again.
Well, and Tyler's at that point too. Tyler's evaluating where things are, and I mean, the Gambling Girl was making nice, steady progress, but and the chart margin calls it a neck. It really wasn't it really wasn't that close. The point in the race on the turn at the top of the stretch, though, Brendan, when you can see everybody else is imploring and asking their fillies, and Tyler's motionless on her.
Yeah, no, I know. Actually, I was out at the back of the paddock watching it, and Gary Stevens came up to me a few minutes before, so we watched it together, and Gary's like, you're cantering, and I'm like, yeah, we are cantering, and hopefully though we could stay cantering. But yeah, it was very impressive the way she traveled through the race, Steve. But that's always been probably her biggest quality, you know, is how she travels so well, you know. It all worked out great, and you know, Tyler gave her a fantastic ride, and we got it done. So it was just fantastic all around.
Pretty mischievous and into mischief, obviously. Godolphin homebred, pretty city dancer, the Tappet mare, moving really puts her, you know, at the head of the filly class, certainly for the 3-year-old, you know, the 3-year-old fillies. And how do you? I mean, obviously, how did she come out of it? First of all, I should ask that.
Yeah, she looks good, Steve. She you know, I thought Saturday morning she was laying off for a few hours. I thought, God, she's felt it a bit, but she was bright as a button again Saturday evening, and really happy, and she's got a good eye on her at the moment, and looks like she's come out of it good. So we sent her back tack walking yesterday, and she was she's jogging this morning, so she's sound and everything's good. So, you know, we'll give her a few more quiet days, and then we'll get her back and get her ready for whatever is next.
Talk a little bit about what do you think might be next.
You know, there's a lovely program for them 3-year-old fillies through the year. You know, I guess the first race we'd probably take a good look at would be the Acorn at Belmont on Belmont Day. But you know, I still have to discuss it with the team at Godolphin. So we'll just let her tell us and see how she comes out of it. And if she's ready for that, well and good. And if we need to give her a little more time and wait for something else down the line, then so be it as well.
Well, Godolphin had, as I mentioned yesterday, had a pretty spectacular weekend when you start folding in the rest of the stake wins, both here and Charlie Appleby came to town in New York on Sunday, but Matarea and Cody's Wish on Sunday. So a 4-stake weekend, 3 here for the boys in blue. Meanwhile, let's also look at the rest of the weekend for you, and that included on Friday. We'll work back to Friday for a second. Yeah, the Modesty, New Year's Eve, third. Lady Rockstar, who seems to have lost her way a little bit, third and seventh in the Modesty on Friday.
Yeah, I thought New Year's Eve ran a very good race in that race, Steve, at the head of the straight. It looked like she was going to maybe have a repeat of last year. It seemed like the turf on Friday, it seemed like, you know, you had to be right on the pace or just off of it, and maybe that came against us with her. But it was nice to see her run the race she ran, and I'm sure she can win a nice race at some point this year. And Lady Rockstar, yeah, she was a little disappointing. Her last couple of runs have been a little disappointing after two very good runs at Gulfstream at the start of the year. So, you know, she seems like she came out of the race okay, but we'll have to assess her here over the next week or two and see if we can't get her back to her old form somewhere or another.
Get to Saturday and mid-card or so, the Pat Day Mile, the first of the 3-year-old boy races. And you've been handling Gilmore, who ran a good race in here. We're going to talk to Shug next about General Jim, but Arad Ortiz essentially, you know, what really was, it was really the only horse that made significant ground up, I thought, Brendan.
Yeah, no, I was very, very happy with him. You know, he was a little unlucky his race before that in the Bay Shore. He ran a very good race. We felt it a little bit more ground the other day going to the mile was going to suit him, and he seems like a horse that's progressing. So he you know, that was a good race, and he ran a good race, and hopefully if he keeps progressing through the year, there's no reason why he wouldn't be able to pick up a nice race at some point too, you know.
And it feels like he's knocking on the door. One of the SF Starlight Madigat horses, and the opportunities that since you got him, you started with the Battaglia, but then made the decision to turn back, and it feels like the right decision. He couldn't get to Joey Freshwater in the Bay Shore. Joey Freshwater came back, in fact, over the weekend and won, I think. And so Gilmore, I suppose, Woody Stevens candidate?
Yeah, it would probably be a possibility, Steve, you know, again. How he does here over the next few days and weeks, but yeah, something like the Woody Stevens would be an option for sure. He seems to like that one turn, you know, one turn 7/8, one turn mile distance. So, you know, that would be the obvious one maybe from here.
Nice, and I don't know if you had seen the figure, but he jumped up to a 93 buyer.
Yeah, no, he did. He ran a good race in a 10, I think, on the ragas and sheets as well, which was by far his best number. So, yeah, he looks like he's progressing pretty good.
Brendan, talk about the Old Forster Turf Classic. Santin, you know, back in this spot. Did not. I thought this was a very strange race, to be honest, and couldn't put a handle on it. He went as the second choice. Some thoughts about what transpired here?
Yeah, like you say, it was a kind of a weird race. The first four horses going around there early in the race, they finished, you know, fourth, last, and down. So the speed did seem to melt down pretty good, which was strange after the way the track seemed to be playing on Friday. We thought it was going to suit the horse perfectly just to sit in behind the speed, but... You know, the other thing with him, Steve, he might not have gotten as much out of his prep race at Turfway that we maybe thought he had. He's a big, gross horse, and he seemed like he got pretty tired the last 100 yards the other day as well. So, you know, I think a combination of the two is what I'm putting him down to right now anyway, it seems, because he looked like he came back out of the race good. And, you know, we'll see how he does again, and you know, there'll be plenty races for him through the year as well. We'd hope that we'd be able to pick up a nice race with him, because I thought he was doing really well going into this, and he seemed like he was kind of back to his old self.
Well, Santin for the 5-year-old, and in the meantime, Todd's winner sort of announced himself with this performance,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that horse looked like he could be a very, very good horse going forward. He's still very lightly raced, and what he did, he looked like he could be the next turf star, you know.
Brendan Walsh with us. Just a couple more questions and a couple more things to follow up on, because we didn't talk after the end of the Keeneland meet. And Temple City Terror is just unbelievable. This mare ran a very good race in the Bewitch to be second, and Verstappen. I didn't see how he finished in the Miami Formula One race Sunday.
I didn't. I'm not a big Formula One fan either, Steve. They both ran really, really well. At Keeneland, Verstappen, you know, we were delighted with him. We weren't completely shocked. He'd run a very nice race at Turfway in the Kentucky Cup, and he'd run very well through the winter. I think since we gelded him and little maturity, he's really turned a corner, and he ran a hell of a race in the Elkhorn. So he's going to go on to Belmont this weekend for Man of War. And Temple City Terror ran huge. I mean, you know, I thought if we were going to to be Bill's filly it might have been this time, her coming off the day off, because our filly had had a prep at Tampa and that she was doing really, really well. And she ran her A race. I mean, we had no excuses, but just Bill's filly is phenomenal, and she's just a brilliant, brilliant filly. You know, so no excuses there. But she did run awfully well, and we're very proud of her.
Well, the other thing that you're going to have to we're going to have to start keeping track of are all those maiden winners from Keeneland and some other recent ones. In fact, that Glorious Princess the other day was nice right here. That was that last Wednesday, I think.
Yeah, no, she's nice. She ran second first time out at Gulfstream. She ran a nice race. She, of course, is a half sister to Harvey's Lily Boyle. So
that's right. We talked about her.
Yeah, it wasn't a complete surprise, but she did run really, really well the other day. You know, I think she got plenty from her first run, and she was very, very professional the other day. So hopefully she's going to be a nicer horse as she gets a little older and a little stronger anyway. She's still a little on the weaker side, but you know, she's got the scope to turn into a very, very nice filly moving forward.
How about those maiden winners at Keeneland, Loyal Company, Secret Money, and Loved?
Yeah, they're nice horses. You know, Loyal Company is, of course, a half-brother to Prevalence, who we were very very lucky with. He won the Commonwealth, so he's a nice horse. He'd been working like he'd really progressed from the winter in Turfway. You know, so he should be a nice prospect going forward. Loved, of course, is a half-sister to Maxfield. We always thought plenty of her. She had a little injury last year after we ran her first time out at Gulfstream, and we had to give her some time off. And I think it actually was a blessing in disguise, because she's matured. She's a big girl, and she's really matured and strengthened up. And I thought she was very impressive at Keeneland. And in Secret Money, she ran a nice race too. She's a nice filly. She'd been showing us plenty down in Palm Meadows through the winter. I thought she ran very well as well, first time out at Gulfstream, and followed up on us really nicely here the last day. So, you know, we're very lucky with these maidens. Some of them, they look like they're all going to continue on and turn into nice horses as the rest of the year goes on.
Well, and you know, the Secret Money, this is Richard Nikolai, Fortune Farm, and that turns out, I mean, next week is Timonium. Our friends at Legion Bloodstock bought this horse for an absolute ham sandwich. And out of a mare, that mare, Awesome Humor, was a really nice stake horse from Saratoga. I can remember her winning something. She was a good horse that dam.
Yeah, she was a Grade One winner, I believe, Steve. I think Ronnie Werner trained her, if I remember correctly.
How about that?
You know, so this filly is nice. She's not over big, you know. She's a little on the handy side, but she's got a heart bigger than herself. So you know, she's very fast, and you know, it was nice, especially for Mr. Nikolai to have a nice winner for him like that.
Wow, $40,000 at Timonium last year.
I guess they got a bargain there. You know?
Unbelievable. Well, we'll have to talk to Kristen Valenti and the team, because that was nicely done. Boy, oh boy, a good Samaritan. Maybe that had something to do with, you know, just, you know, hadn't really announced. I'll have to go look up the workout. Won the spin away that damn. Won the spin away and was second in the Alabama.
Yeah, there you go.
Good, unbelievable. Brendan, finally, today, the horse you got won at Indiana, Tazuea.
Yeah, Shadwell filly, Steve, that came to us there last winter. You know, she's got plenty of form from before. You know, I think the spot at Indiana should suit her well for her first run off the bench. So I'm expecting her to. She's been working good. We've had plenty of time with her, so I'm expecting a pretty good run from her, even though it is a tricky enough spot. But I do think she'll run well.
Brendan Walsh, everybody. Bren P. Walsh on your Twitter, and landmark grade one classic win for the resume and part of a big weekend for Godolphin. And Brendan, delighted, and we'll see you. Are we going to see you in Baltimore? You got anything next weekend?
Yeah, I think we've got a good few to nominate for the various stakes, Steve. So I would think we'll have one or two or three to run down there. So we'll look forward to that.
Outstanding, Brendan. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Steve.
Brendan Walsh does just a tremendous job, and this is a big win. Obviously, it's a big win. Yeah, don't need me to anoint it. It speaks for itself. Now I'm curious. I'm sure it's his first grade one. It's not Maxfield on the dirt. Maxfield, couple of grade ones on the dirt for him, the Clark, and the Breeders' Futurity. So third grade one on the dirt for Brendan Walsh. Nicely done. Going to talk to Shug, and it was a mixed bag, obviously. Within an hour, wins the Pat Day Mile, and then has one of the top 3 year olds on the turf of the year, seemingly, has him extracted from the field behind the gate without explanation.
Hello.
Hey, Shug.
Hey.
Shug.
Yeah.
You had a funny hour Saturday.
Yeah, I did, Steve. It's unfortunate, but we had the one around as good as a horse could run, and then for some unforeseen reason, they scratched the other one.
Let's start with General Jim, and you really. You were very patient, and you did all the right things. He got sick this winter after the swale, and you weren't going to rush him, I don't think, anyway, onto the Derby Trail. But you did say at the time that you would probably stretch him out. Instead, you took this route. I mean, talk about really the last time we talked, and the way you got him ready to run as well as he did on Saturday.
Well, the first time he got sick, he kind of got over it, and I was training him with a fountain of youth still in the back of my mind. Really just sort of, because I knew that's kind of what Mr. Adams wanted to take a shot. And but then he got sick again, so then that was the end of it. And so I knew where the Pat Day Mile was, and, that suited me fine going a mile. Obviously I'm a huge Pat Day guy, so the win the Pat Day Mile brought tears to my eyes. And, we brought him up here, and he trained really, really well up here on the main track. And, everything just went the right way. And, he went over there and ran, what as you saw was a very, very good race and a very good race. It was a good race you could watch. And I was really, really pleased. I think that Louis rode a great race on him, and, I still think there's improvement there.
You end up with a triple-figure buyer, so he's maturing right on time, and really feels like, he's going to be one of these horses that could turn up anywhere at this point. What, how did he come back, by the way? I should have gone to see Reeve. I'm still in Louisville.
He, he, he's back up here.
Oh, is he? Came home all right? Okay.
The horse, he came back the next day here. He's here. Seemed like he's shipped fine. And we'll go on from there. I mean, I guess my, you know, I was telling Anthony this morning, I said, you know, one of those quests was 8-5 in a program for the Preakness. I kind of did something to a back leg the day before, and I had to scratch him, but then I came back in the Riva Ridge, which is now the Woody Stevens, and then the Dwyer, and which is still the Dwyer, and you know, then we ran in the in the Haskell, so I think that would be a pretty good pattern. I haven't talked to Mr. Adams, you know, about what, but I mean, you know, that, and, you know, if he didn't act like he wanted to stretch out too, you know, too far, then, you know, we also got the race at Saratoga, I think, still a grade one, too. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for him, and I think that, you know, Reeve and I talked all winter that, you know, boy, this time's on this horse's side. And he had except for the little getting sick, he had a really good winter. He matured a lot physically. And, you know, I think we'll see how it goes from now on. But I think he's got, you know, a nice future in front of him.
General Jim, $850,000 Keeneland yearling, an Into Mischief out of the Curlin mare, inspired by Grace. And always happy for Don Adam to do well. Puts a lot into the game.
Well, I agree with you. You know, they're very, very easy people to train for and to get along with. You never, you know, most of my conversations with his farm guy, Ernie, and, you know, you couldn't have a dialogue any better than you got with him. And then he kind of forwards it on to Mr. Adam. But, you know, he's going in there and putting his money up, he's going to come up with some horses that could run. It doesn't mean all of them are, just because you spend a lot of money, some of them aren't going to be good. But, you know, I think, like I say, I think he's got a lot of, you know, I think we've got four really nice horses for him here, and General Jim and All-American Beauty and a horse called Never Explained. I think I'm probably going to run in the state dinner. He's been a couple in a row. And, horse called Breeze, a flatter that I really, really liked last year's 2-year-old and got hurt. But he's back. They gave him plenty of time, and he's back now, just 2-minute-licking a couple times. And, you know, and then he's got a bunch of 2-year-olds. You know, what they send to me, I don't know, but it doesn't really matter because they're all going to be nice. And you know, Ernie ain't going to send me or Steve Asmussen something he doesn't like. So it's kind of a pleasure. And they get, you know, and to see them, the kick they got out of, you know, Ernie was there and Mr. Adam and his wife and a lot of his family, his grandsons. And, you know, that's kind of what it's all about, Steve. And like I say, you don't see a whole lot of individual ownerships anymore with the kind of money he's putting up. But, you know, I doubt very seriously there'll ever be a day he's got a partner.
Well, General Jim, and you heard the layout, and feels like this is a horse that is going to make a presence felt as the spring turns into summer. Shug, that was the good news. Let's talk about what happened 45 minutes later. I was actually on the air, and they were behind the gate, and I was giving everybody a final rundown of the odds because it was going to, you know, it was an interesting group of the 3-year-old turfers, and really the first, you know, mid-season test of the 3-year-old grass horses. And all of a sudden, I see that I see that there's a red line through Talk of the Nation, and nobody really knew until they were literally going in the gate, and it didn't seem like for hours afterward anybody knew either, that nobody at KHRC, the vets, could give you or Reeve an explanation.
Well, I was sort of the same box you were. Steve, I had a horse in a race up here at Belmont, and so I was watching it, and then when I got back to his race, I couldn't find him, you know, with the silks. So race was over with. I called Reeve. I said, what happened? He said, I scratched him. And I said, what's the matter with him? He said, nothing that I can see. He said, they scratched him, and he jogged back by me, I guess, going to the paddock. I don't know, get the tack taken off of him. And so I said, well, give me a call after you get him back to the barn, jog him on the road, and let's see what happens. And so he jogged him on the road, called me, and said he looks fine. And then I got a call from Tyler, but I missed it that night. But he called me the next morning, and said that the horse shied from, was with the pony, and he shied from a horse that kind of came too close to him. He got his leg tangled up just for a second in the pony's leg, and stayed bent. Well, what was that all about? He says, about nothing. He said, you know, he shied from another horse, and he ran into the pony. He said, oh, well, I got to see him jog. So he jogged him up and down. He said, oh, he's off left front. I got to scratch him. And Tyler begged him not to scratch him. So there's nothing wrong with this horse.
Unbelievable.
I want to ride him. And, you know, but sometimes these guys just don't, you know, sometimes they don't think. And, you know, I don't know what day the Tampa Bay Derby was, around the 10th of March or something, but he won a stake up there that day. And, you know, I've been pointing for that race all along. And, you know, we got him back up to New York, and we're training him, and everything good, you know. I mean, he breezed on Sunday, I believe, before we went. The horse couldn't have gone any better. In fact, he went with General Jim. And, you know, so it's unfortunate that the, and believe me, if there's anything wrong with him, I'm the first to say, give scratch him. But I don't think there was anything wrong with this horse. And then I took him back over to Keeneland just so Reeve could watch him for a few days in case there was something that popped up. I could get him to the right people, but everything seems to have been fine. In fact, I jogged him the next day. It was fine. He galloped today. He said he was fine. So I just think it was one of those unfortunate things, and I don't know whether, you know, there's just so much pressure put on these guys, especially what went on all during Derby week, that they jumped the gun. But, you know, I've been through it with them before, and I just think that they need to use their head a little bit more and kind of out before they just run up and scratch one, especially in, you know, that type of a race. I mean, you remember, it used to be, you know, if the jock felt something funny, they jog him back to the gate till the vet said, you might not take a look at this horse. And, you know, most of the time they'd say they'd scratch him, but sometimes I've seen him where they didn't. So now he's all right. And, you know, now they got the vet standing out in the middle of the racetrack, you know, telling him the horse didn't sound. So, you know, that's one thing that, you know, that I've got a problem with. You know, I mean, I've been doing this stuff for a long time. I'm not going to send one over. He's got any kind of problem or ship him. And Reeve was driving from Lexington every day. Yeah, we had Smoke and Tea and General Jim and him there watching them train. It wasn't like they were on their own. And, you know, all was good. But next thing I know, he scratched.
Now, and, you know, for the horse players, you know, we were all mystified, and there wasn't an explanation forthcoming, and I haven't read everything, but I don't know if this has been in print the last couple of days with that more detailed explanation of what happened pre-race. So I appreciate you, you know, explaining it, Shug, and
I haven't either, Steve. The only person I've talked to is Tyler, and I think that's a pretty unfortunate thing. You'd think that somebody from the racing commission would either go see Reeve or call me on the phone and said, you know, this is what we saw. And we weren't comfortable with what we saw, and we thought it needed to come out. But I've heard nothing. from anybody, whether it was the veterinarians or who. The head vet there was a guy named Bruce Hired, who's a good guy. I don't know him that well. But the other guy that's there was a guy named Will Farmer, as good a man as you'll ever be around in your life, in my opinion. Great guy. You know, they've got Nick, and he kind of jumps the gun sometimes, and he's the one that scratched Forte. And
Nick Smith.
Which, yeah, whatever it is, the long-haired guy. And he's a nice guy, personally, but, you know, it's almost, to me, Steve, he doesn't want horses to run. I had a problem with him last year with Kathleen O. You know, I finally called him in my office. I said, Nick, I said, why don't you want this filly to run? Oh, well, I want her to run. I said, no, you don't. I said, we've done everything you asked. And then one day I'm coming back from the track, and he goes, oh, shoot, we got a problem. I said, what's that? He said, Kathleen O's foot's hot. I said, come on. You know, and, you know, after they train or they've been standing in the stall, a lot of times they're, you know, they lean on that, lean on one of their foot or feet or something, and, you know, it'll carry a little bit of heat in it, but there sure wasn't nothing matter with it. And, you know, we had x-rayed her, and, you know, and but she got to run, but it was, you know, it was kind of a lot of nonsense that did not need to go on. Did not need to go on. And I think the Kentucky, you know, these vets up here in New York are really, really good. That girl that's ahead of it, Sarah, she could not be any better. And, you know, I think that Kentucky's going to have to figure something out to where, you know, now you'd be afraid to ship a horse down there because you don't know what's going to happen to run.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I've seen them. I had a friend of mine had a horse scratched at Ellis Park. The horse had gotten clean, and he sent me a video of him jogging on the road. He said, tell me what's wrong with this horse. I couldn't find nothing. Jog sound as a dollar. Well, you know, this stuff can't happen. And, you know, they need to also give us some sort of an explanation, you know, whether it's, you know, the state, whether it's one of the veterinarians or whether it's Barbara Borden and her crew or whoever it is, but nobody's ever said a word to me but Tyler Gavlin.
All right. I was anxious to hear this and talk to you about it and get you know, and get some answers. And so at least we know what the actual incident was that you know precipitated the you know the decision. And
we all know horse racing, but the horse was finished. I mean, it was second. It got beat a half a length. We walked on that horse at Tampa. You know, that don't mean we were going to Saturday, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
So. And this horse is a pretty good horse now. I mean, it isn't like, you know, we were going over on a wish and a prayer. I mean, I think he's pretty good.
It's been pretty clear, I think, to everybody that you know, the move to the grass, you know, the allowance win first, and then you know, then the easy win in the Columbia. And what you're talking about that horse of Vicky Oliver's, that mustache that led a long way, right?
Yeah, I guess
that you beat. Yeah. Sure. Anyway, no, yeah, he's luckily there's tons of 3-year-old opportunities as the season progresses, and now he's on the vet list too with Forte, right? I mean, he and Forte
can breeze together. But you know, I mean, I'm lucky with a guy like Joe. You know, he took it really well, and he said, you know, I ain't not being participating in a purse like that, but you know, we just regrouped. There's a lot of places to run him.
Sure.
So that's what we'll do.
Well, yeah, sure. I got a couple other horses to ask you about, and you mentioned Smoking Tea. I'm going to get to him in a minute because it looks like he's taking a step forward. But what was your Derby? What was your Derby impression?
You know, I like, and I'm not trying to red board. I like the horse that won. You know, I thought maybe he might have should have won the Florida Derby. I thought maybe Sy has moved on him a little bit early, trying to get, you know, kind of getting to jump on Forte. So I wasn't surprised. I think that a lot of them that were behind him probably are, you know, not high quality race horses, but, you know, nice horses, but, you know, they were spread out from Madge to the Track Kitchen. And, you know, so, but, you know, I mean, except for the horses that died, I mean, I think it was Friday and Saturday were really, really fun days, you know, to watch the races and the enthusiasm that's at Churchill and all the people. And, you know, it's fun. I was coming down there on that Wednesday, and I just didn't feel like it. And so I told Allison on Tuesday, I said, just cancel. And which I was kind of glad I did, because I kind of got back on my feet a little bit. And then we decided to perform in the Preakness, so we're going to go down there on, I guess, next Wednesday.
Well, that was the next question. They're going to supplement.
Yes.
How about that?
This is
old school. Kicking it, 120,000?
150,000. Well, but I'm excited about running him. I mean, you know, as I was telling Anthony, I said, this is a chance of a lifetime and a lifetime of chance. And I said, I've never won the Preakness, and I want to win the Preakness, but I ain't going to win it if they're standing in the stall. But I'm not going to, you know, sacrifice. But I thought he ran, I think his two races around two turns were big move-ups. And, you know, he came out of all that good. He had a really good breeze here when it was Sunday morning. And I'm going to breeze him again over the weekend and send him down there next Tuesday or Wednesday and see what happens.
You got a rider?
The people are, you know, he's got a pretty big group, and they're all really, really excited. So that's a good thing, too.
Very nice. Well, that'll make it fun. You got the best alibi for not winning the Derby for the alibi breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. They'll tell him something, huh?
Yeah, no, the Tessio winner is a go. And Dave Grenig, I know, discussed it yesterday, and I thought it was still speculation, but I guess Dave wrote it up yesterday. I'm seeing it.
No, I talked to him yesterday, and I talked to Bill Farish. He said, no, we're all in. Of course, we're doing fine, and you're doing fine. And Daisy Pipps was the same way, and the West Point people, you know, obviously they like to be around big days. And, they're all in, so I don't think I'm going to have anybody spitting on me when I get over there.
who's riding?
I think Lynch will ride him.
Fergal Lynch, okay. Very good. He knows his way around Pimlico, obviously.
Yes.
What was the last starter you had in the Preakness?
I want to tell you something, Steve. It could have been Easy Gore.
Oh my God!
Could have been.
How about that? Well,
I had Coronado's Quest in it. He was 8-5 on the morning line. Hurt himself on Friday morning at Belmont. I couldn't run him. I had to scratch him. And but as I was saying, we went on and had a pretty good career with him, and the way he was and stuff. If he had run it, gone down there and gone through all that, it might not have been quite as good. So I can't look back on those kinds of stuff, that kind of stuff.
Well, and that, you know, and what you just said is actually very funny, and people are, I imagine certain people of a certain age, you know, saying that he got hurt on Friday at Belmont, and then was going to, you know, if everything had been okay, you would have shipped to Baltimore Friday night, or would you have driven down Saturday morning?
I can't remember what my plans were, but I'm going to say it was Saturday morning.
Because that used to be, I mean, there were horses up until about, up until about, I don't know, 10 years ago, I remember Mike Trombetta shipped over, and I think even Barbaro came over like Thursday from Fair Hill, or Friday morning or something. I mean, that was a very different. It's only recently that you have to be on the grounds at, you know, early as certain days, you know?
I remember when I was working for the Whiteleys, I asked Mr. Whiteley, I said, what about shipping? He said, ship them, put the bridle on them, and take them over there. That's a little bit what he did. He did it. I think he brought Tom Rolfe in there in a two-horse trailer.
That's so great. That is so great.
He won the previous. It's a different ball game, you know, like I say. It's, you got a lot of people that are dictating kind of what you do.
And yep.
I guess it's all right or something. I'm not sure when they started that Wednesday thing. It might have been Golden Senses year, but I can't remember exactly.
I'll get an answer on that. I'm sure. Also, you mentioned Kathleen O. Disappointing.
Kathleen O. Something's got to be bothering her. Steve, she's at Dr. Bramwich's right now. She's not all for anything, but I just want him to take a look at her. I do think he'll probably find something, whether it's bone bruising or what possibly it could be. But, you know, she just doesn't have the explosion, and even in her better races, that she used to have. And Kendrick wrote her the other day, and he said, you know, she broke a little bit tardy, but, you know, I had her going down the backside, and she put me where I wanted to be, and she put me there, and then as soon as she switched on her left lead, it was over with. So, you know, I mean, as soon as the race was over with, I knew I had to do something. So,
yeah,
she shipped yesterday, and he'll take a look at her today, and hopefully we can get to the bottom of it and get her going again one of these days.
Nice. How about, surprisingly, who ran well in the Bogey?
She did run well. She ran well on the Bogey. She was fine. I don't know. I nominated her to the Gallo Rep. Doubt very seriously I'll run her there, but there's the Miss Liberty the end of the month at Monmouth. You know, that Vigilante's Way won it, and that might be her next start. Yeah. I haven't really talked to Daisy about, you know, what she had in her head. But, you know, they always go along with what I got to say. So,
yeah,
we'll see. I just nominate some of these things around, Steve, in case you look up in a four-horse race. I remember I ran into Sir Barton 3 or 4 years ago, and there was three. And, you know, I just don't like to be sitting around and thinking, you know, man, I'll at least have something in here. And, so, you know, that's some of my thinking.
Well, it makes plenty of sense. Let me ask you about a couple of horses. Mary Quite Contrary off of the Madison.
I was going to run her in the rough end, and she spiked the temperature. She's fine, and she's going to go back. Well, I'm going to start riding her on her tack tomorrow. You know, never know anything was wrong with her, but she had a little bit of a temperature for a day, and her blood count was all messed up, and her SAA was high, but it's all back down now, normal. Her white blood cells went way down, but she's everything's good now. What happened, I don't know, but you know, we'll get her going and figure out what we're gonna do with her.
Nice. Of course, the Grade One win. And how about, you mentioned Smoking Tea. That was a nice performance. I mean, it looked like he'd laid over that field, but then went out and followed it up, got a career-high figure.
Yeah, you know, we've always liked Smoking Tea. He's just had a little bit of a hard time getting it right in his races. And the other day, he got it right. Johnny rode a great race on him. You know, he's kind of, he's a war front. He's all horse. And I don't know. I nominate him to the state dinner down there, but I probably won't run him. There's a mile and eighth race at Monmouth on the turf, you know, around the first part of June. And that's probably where I'll run him. But you know, the guy that owned him, met Tom Ryan, who was a wonderful guy, he died. And his wife's got him now. He got two or three mares, I think, maybe four. And, you know, they like to sell them, and most of these, like him, were horses that they couldn't sell. And but she's a wonderful lady, too. And came up back in the winter. Somebody made an offer on her and on that horse. And she called me. She said, is there anything matter with him? I said, nope, nothing matter with him. I said, do you like him? I said, I like him. She said, then why would I sell him? She said, I'm enjoying watching him run. I said, well, that's a breath of fresh air, I'll tell you that, because there's a lot of them don't hound that way. But her name is Diana. You'll see her at Saratoga. She's a really, really, really kind lady.
That's sweet. That is sweet. Finally, Shug, Thursday, the Spitestown, Dreams of Tomorrow.
Doing really well. Is racing Appleton. He was hung out the whole way. He got me 6-8 lengths or something. Even Javier came back and he said, you know, I was out there. I couldn't get him tucked in. And, you know, his race is better than his chart. And so I'm looking forward to getting him going again. And, you know, I'd like to somewhere along the line win a stake with him because, you know, his mother's all sabbatical, is all Phipps pedigree. And, in fact, he had a little brother this spring, by Tappet. And so, you know, he's a likable kind of horse, Steve. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, he doesn't always go over there and run as good as he can. But when he does, he's pretty good.
Yeah, we're going to go to the windows then on Thursday. Shug, I appreciate the frank comments and letting us understand what transpired with Talk of the Nation. And now I'm looking forward to seeing you in Baltimore.
We'll see you there.
Outstanding. Shug McGahey, everybody, and updates on everything going on, including what happened with the Talk of the Nation. Now you know. Nobody else knew. Until now, legs getting a little tangled with the pony. That was enough. It's unbelievable. But understandable. That's the thing. There's the thing. One more visit before the bottom of the hour. Larry Ravelli will join us around 10:30. But right now, looking forward to this conversation because Javier Castellano is going to join us. And after congratulating Javi on a half a dozen Travers, it's a real pleasure to congratulate him on his first Derby. Javi, congratulations.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Javi, you know, there's no doubt that this was, I mean, everybody was happy for, you know, for the Delgado team, and we talked to Ramiro Restopo yesterday, that part of it. But they're not, you know, they're not as widely known as you. You're a Hall of Famer, and you're very popular. And for you to get this Derby after the 15 tries, it was just, you know, in a lot of ways, it was the best part of the Derby win.
Yeah, I mean, very happy and so happy, truly happy. This is the kind of type of race that we want to win. You know, I've been waiting for a long time. You can see my background. You can see my staff. My number, I've been right for 15 years, but I never give up. I always like to, you know, be consistent, try to reach out my goal. Thank God, give me opportunity to my career, to get what I want, you know, at least a world, 4-time Hall of Fame, you say, to reach out to the Kentucky Derby, one of the biggest races in the world, basically. And that's part of my shit me, and I'm very happy to get it.
We'll talk about the race in a second, but, you know, in terms of your record in the race, it's a little deceptive because there were a lot of horses that you got on that were just not, they were just not going to be Derby winners. I mean, the first opportunity, of course, was Bellamy Road as a favorite, and he got hurt in the race.
That's right. Absolutely. My first seat was 2005. Bellamy Roy was the 5-2 in the money line. Really nice horse, but I think if the horse something happened with the horse in the race, I think he didn't handle very well, and I think he got hurt, like you say. And after that, you know, a very average horse. You go through the race.
Yep.
I didn't have a like heavy favorite horse, like kind of. And actually, I rode Audible. It was kind of type of decent horse, but he did really well and almost finished second behind Justify and Gumayi. Just two good type of horses, and you know, they was belong to the race. And only that, you know, just the average horse. But you never know in this game, especially, you know, the Kentucky Derby. That's the best 20 horses in the country. And you got to be lucky. It's a gift God gave it to you. And I think you have to be in the right time, the right place. I think it's finally I get it. And I think all the Canadian, Venezuelan people, Gustavo Delgado, myself, the exercise riders, all connect together. I think it was a truly emotional, especially for my country as well.
Well, and really kind of a family story, because you know, I was standing there listening during the press conference, and you know, you talking about your father and Gustavo's dad, and you know, the way they look at you as part of their family. There was so much special about the win and about the performance. And then, you know, hearing some of those backstories, the public really enjoys that. And there was so much about this team that you could really see, what a community they've got. And Ramiro yesterday with me also, you know, kind of fleshed that out. For you, this goes back decades from childhood.
Yeah, it's true. You know, it's a true story. Hold on 1 second, sir.
Sure. Sir. Doesn't have to call me sir.
Yeah, it's truly emotional, you know. It's special for everybody. That's a true story. And that's what, you know, the we're all looking for. We're all looking for, you know, and that's the best moment, you know. It's the dream come true for anybody in the jockey in the world.
This horse in particular, and of course you rode him in the second start. He was, you know, he was doing something, Javi, that I kept bringing up. Not him so much, a little bit, but more I was talking King's Barnes because of the Pletcher connection. You rode Materiality, and Materiality was also making his fourth start in the Derby, and it ended up, you know, being a little too much. What was different about this horse, if you want to use a comparison?
Kind of type of horse, you know, this horse, you know, the way he progressed himself, you can see it first. He started, you know, first time he started, he wasn't very impressed. And 7-8. And then the second start, he stepped up the ladder big time in the front of you. And still having the best break out of the game. I had the fortune to come from behind too as well. And then for the way he stepped up little by little in the short time, and he challenged to one of the best horses in the country right away in the early stage in his career and finished second at Florida Derby. That's very impressed to me. And then, of course, like, we had the best result in the Kentucky Derby. And we still hope to keep the finger crossed. We're still with it. Hopefully we can see continuously the horse and making progress the way everything he does. Young age is only 4 times career, and hopefully continue to put it together and be successful.
Talk about the trip, and one of the things that you said on Saturday was that you guys had a plan for any which thing that might have happened once the gates opened, including if he did get a great start again and if he was going to trail early. Talk, basically take us around.
Well, basically, we were very, very prepared. We have a strategy, and I think we stick together. We know that Jorge is not going to break out of the gate, and it's kind of as a style, and we don't want to change anything because the horse, he's been, that's the way he's been developing himself lately, and we don't want to change anything, especially with this field, and everybody seemed to me the way handicapped the race. Everybody got good static speed. Everybody's going to be close to the pace, and I don't want to rush the horse. Young horses try to rush it to get a position and to be satisfied some people. I think the most important, let him develop the horse, let him grow the horse in a good rhythm all every single step of the way in the race, and let him find the best result in the race. And that's what we stick with the plan. Luckily, grateful for all the connections. They give me the trust and they give me the green light, basically. Take me my best shot in the race and taking my own decision, I think it worked out amazing. Broke slow out of the gate, let him develop himself. I saved all the ground and stuff. But I knew it's going to be a fast pace in the race. Everybody seemed to me good tactical speed. A horse, he developed himself in the first turn and angle out a little bit in the back side and try to squeeze a little bit past the horse. My biggest challenge is going to be the second part of the race, when all the horses start fall apart, basically they start getting tired and everybody start packing up a little bit. I think that's my biggest challenge. I have to be how it can manage the horse to not to get in trouble and not to get too wide to get to the finish line. And I think I did really well, and the horse is helped me a lot. May she help me to go through every single step away. It's a young horse, but it's the same thing, and very, very mature horse. He got to go through to a lot of dirty space, surround a lot of horses, and go through traffic. He did really so well. I stepped up outside. I felt like I had the best horse in the race in that moment. I don't want to take advantage. I don't want to take any going inside and get stopped and get a rally the momentum, and that's exactly what I did. I stepped up outside, let him roll, and when I passed the quarter part, I felt, okay, this is it. I think that's going to be my derby, and I was very, very excited.
Well, a couple of things happened, too, that late in the late stages, and Jareth Loveberry felt you coming, and he brought two fills out about a path and a half so that, you know, that the horse could see you. And you actually kind of, move toward him and kind of make two fills and Jareth go back to about the one and a half path and then, you know, continue on. That I thought that was a very key portion in the late stages when the two of you came together.
Yeah, I felt like at one moment I thought I'm gonna go by easy. I can't tell you already, you know, but you never know. And the horses, and you know, when it's getting closer sometimes, it's tip. And some horses, they hear another horse. They don't want to be next to each other. I just want to give you space to go by. But it took a little while to get the momentum too as well. I give it credit to the other horse to feel and not give up really quick. And you still I had to work it out a little bit to go by. I switched my step in the left hand. I top a little bit, let him get the momentum, let him go the ready, and finally I get my winner. But I give it credit to the horse, and I think him. What a beautiful moment, and the way he did it, manage, and the way, and the biggest stage, John Carreel, the way he developed himself, I think it's amazing.
Javier Castellano with us, and we're celebrating the Derby win. Took 15 times to make the magic, a 16th time, and you know now the opportunity to go to Baltimore and add another Preakness to Javi's resume. Don't have to talk about that right this minute, but Javi, it's been what, 72 hours? Watching you and Abby and the rest of the family and her dad, obviously Terry Meeks, and really a special time post race. You know, you with the fist bumps past the wire. That was a great moment. I've got a wonderful picture of you with the grooms coming back, meeting you on the grass before, you know, you go over for the rose blanket. What have you been thinking about the last 72 hours since? Now you got some time. You were back at Belmont on Sunday. Talk about the last couple of days.
Well, I'm being really emotional. Trust me, every time in the morning, I wake up in the morning. It's for real. I win the derby. I ask my question myself every time. And it's a truly honest and emotional, you know, to get what you want in your life and to reach up. Took a lot of year and took a lot of sacrifices to get there. And when you get it, that's the best feeling human being you can have in the world, you know. And when you target something for all your life and you get it, it's no word to describe that moment. And thankful and grateful for God. God's good. God's great. And being blessed, you know, immigrant for another country. This is the biggest country in the world. This is the best. They open the door for people. They want to do good. They want to live a better life. And I'm truly thankful and grateful for every single one that gave me opportunity to be where I am right now.
What did your brother, when did you, your brother's thought?
Well, my brother is so truly happy and proud of, and he called me. We are really, really close family. And we always, we communicate with each other every single day. And my mom, she called me right away. I call my mom when I get to the jacket room. I call my brother, I call my sister. We all come for a call and we're happy. And then the next day and the night we call FaceTime and we all share this is emotion because I feel like the family and we enjoy and we have the best time ever. And we put a lot of sacrifice together to get this really, really work.
So terrific. Javier Castellano and the Derby win goes with two Preakness wins, Cloud Computing and Bernardini. And, you know, if you can add a third Preakness, then it would set you up to win your first Belmont, which would be pretty special under the circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully that's a goal. Hopefully we can reach out that goal mentally, be prepared. Physically, we've been praying a lot for this. I hope if it's meant to be, I mean, I'm going to work hard to get it done. And hopefully, God bless us.
Javi, let's do this. We haven't played the race for people, and probably a perfect chance with you listening in. And I want to hear Travis Stone's call. For those of you that watch the national telecast, here's a chance to listen to Travis call Majes Kentucky Derby, Gustavo Delgado and Javier Castellano.
They're in the gates.
And they also.
And they're off in the Kentucky Derby. And confidence game got away well, so too verifying. King's Barnes is up there too. Jace's Road from the outside and Reincarnate from mid-pack fires out as well in that daunting run to the first turn of the Derby. And it's verifying, King's Barnes, and Reincarnate, the three of them across the track early on. And they've opened up by 2.5 lengths. Confidence game toward the inside is racing in fourth. Two Fills is fifth. Jace's Road on the outside is sixth. Hit Show toward the rail racing in seventh. Rocket Ken comes away in eighth. Raise King right at mid-pack, running along in ninth. Mandarin Hero is 10th. King Russell's 11th. Disarm buried at the inside while 12th. Derma Sotagake is back in 13th. Cyclone Mischief is 14th. Mage is 15th. Angel of Empire down inside in 16th. Sun Thunder is 17th. Tappet Trice was last entering the backstretch run. And another sharp pace in the Derby. 45 3/5 seconds. Verifying, flying up the backstretch with King's Barn. Barnes bounding along right alongside, and Reincarnate is right there. 3-1 on the outside third. Two Fills follows them in fourth. Confidence Game covered up down inside fifth. Hit Show's been moved to the outside, and he's drawn to within 3 lengths of the lead as the round the far turn. Rocket Can is following him. Raise Cane's going the wrong way down inside. Derma Sotogake is revving up from the back of the pack, and so too is Mage. Angel of Empire is finding his best stride as they round the far turn, and Two Fills has taken the lead. Two Fills turns for home in front by two. Mage is coming down the center. Hit Show is there. Kings Barnes gives way. Angel of Empire with powerful strides down the center of the track, but there's one for long to go. Two Fills fights on, but Mage has taken the lead. Angel of Empires are rallying third. Time is running out to catch Mage. Mage digs down deep, urged onto the wire, onto the wire to win the Derby. Mage the winner. Two Fills was second. Angel of Empire was third, and Disarm came on for fourth.
There it is, Javi, and terrific, terrific call by Travis Stone.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Very emotional.
I can hear. How many times have you watched it?
Many times. I forgot how many.
Well, you'll be watching it the rest of your life, Javi. You also, we should mention, Larry Rivelli is going to join us next. Rivelli is joining us next, but it was Cassie and you with Web Slinger, too, we should mention, in the American Turf.
Yeah, what a race. What a special trip I have. And what a great horse he is. I mean, very thankful, too, you know, for the way 14 post position, you know, go through the first turn, able to save all the ground. I mean, I'm really happy. What a beautiful trip I had with the horse, and very thankful the opportunity to Mark has given me the opportunity lately to ride his horses. As what a grateful I am right now, and I appreciate for everything he done for me for my career too as well.
Well, and for the DJ Stable team, for the Greens, a terrific win, you know, particularly considering that they had been frustrated on Friday with Wonder Wheel. So Mark, spirits lifted, and Web Slinger at a big price, too, $47.34. Javi, thanks so much for this. I was really looking forward to talking to you this way and letting everybody share their happiness for you and the family. Get that Derby win, and we'll see you in Baltimore.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate for the opportunity. Thanks a lot.
Not at all. Javier Castellano. You can follow Javi, JJC Jockey, on Twitter. And just the really, in a lot of ways, that, I mean, that was the best part of, you know, I mean, every portion in terms of all the connections you're happy for, but when it comes to him, everybody's, you know, obviously more familiar with Javier Castellano, and people using all the, you know, the monkey off the back to have it come, and he's 45. I mean, he looks, yes, Javi looks the same as he did 20 years ago, but you know, it doesn't mean that the clock's not ticking. Let's take our break. No music to come out. I want to take the break and come right back. We got a lot to do yet. Larry Rivelli next. He'll explain his emotions having had the lead at the top of the stretch and into deep stretch with Two Fills, and having earlier won the Turf Sprint. But we'll also talk about the decision not to run in Baltimore and his thinking and his evaluation of the hard-spun colt. Back after this, second half. We're still at Churchill. One more day here before we go down to Nashville for Saturday's Iroquois Steeplechase at Percy Warner, the first big grade one of the year in the chase community. And then it's on to Baltimore as well. At the races, SiriusXM, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets.